The Mystery of the Lost Lenore, Part 36. The country on the far bank of the Humbunga did not seem much different from that on the bank we had just left. It was scrubby, a little dry, and not at all promising. We mounted our camels, who were all happy to be back on terra firma, and headed away from the river. According to Hobie, we were going in the direction of the lands inhabited by the Balamba people. In one of their villages, he thought we would be able to reprovision. That was good news to me, as I was out of sesame snaps and had only enough postum for one more very weak cup. He also said that perhaps we could even hire some more local guides who would be helpful in the next phase of our journey. Truth be told, I was a little sick of looking at my companions, and I was looking forward to spending a few days and nights in a village with some other people. It would, I thought, be a nice change of pace. I should perhaps take this opportunity to say a little bit about the Balamba. They are an interesting people. Apparently they are quite well known in that part of the world, both for their hospitality, which is odd because almost no one goes there, and their amazing proficiency at whistling. The Balamba live in small village clusters that are each governed by a sort of council that is not elected or appointed or hereditary. Balambans become members of the governing council, or Shobat, by accident. Even now, after having spent some time among them, I am not entirely sure how this works, but it is clear to me that no one wants to be a member of the Shobat. The Balamba not only hunt and fish, but engage in a rudimentary sort of slash-and-burn agriculture. In addition, they make pianos. To my surprise, I learned that none of them play. They consider the piano a silly instrument because you have to sit to play it. They are unfamiliar with the work of Jerry Lee Lewis. We were only hours away from the river when we encountered our first Balamban. We were ambling along, not paying attention to anything, when suddenly she appeared before us. She was tall, well over 6 feet in height, very slim, and dare I say it, lithe. Her hair was done in the traditional Balamban fashion, which is to say it was matted into a single spike standing straight up. This made her, I guess, somewhat over 7 feet tall, and what was more impressive, she was totally naked. Well, I'm exaggerating. She had on little bracelets and anklets made out of pink and blue plastic. They looked like those little boy and girl bracelets they used to give babies before people were familiar with the term choking hazard. She broke into a kind of narrow smirk when she saw us. Evidently, she found our appearance amusing, but she motioned for us to follow her. This we, of course, did. I mean, what would you do?